You're listening to Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Podcast.
With the man, the myth, the legend.
The legend.
Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist.
Control Talk Now, the weekly podcast with building automation and smart building control news you can use.
Now, here's Eric.
Hi, welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast and podcast ending March 27th, 2016. It's Easter Sunday. I hope you guys are all and girls are all having a great Easter. I am joined by the original Easter Bunny himself, my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, Big Dog.
Thank you very much, Eric. It's great to be here again. And you're right, it's got down hippity-hopping all the way down the Easter Trail and back here just in time to do the Control Talk Now.
Yeah, what did I tell you? He is the Easter Bunny. So listen, I got to tell you a story. We went out yesterday, and if I can get some of these pictures posted, I will. We had our big Easter egg hunt with Evelyn and Axel yesterday at a place in Buckhead. And anyway, so, you know, they had the little plastic eggs, and all the plastic eggs had chocolate in them. So Evelyn was, all dressed up with her hat and everything. And, you know, she goes and gets some eggs. And anyway, long story short, Anna's trying to be really smart about the whole thing. So she takes the chocolate out of all but one egg. And Evelyn just kind of looks at it a little bit funny. But then we go to have, a Saturday sort of pre-Easter brunch, if you will. So Evelyn's got her little plastic eggs. And while we're ordering food and eating, and my oldest daughter, Britt, was with us, so it was all good times. We noticed that Evelyn has taken all the sugar off of the table, and she has opened the individual sugar packets up, poured them in one of the eggs, filled it up, looks at her mom and goes, "See, Mom, sugar in the egg," and pours it in her water and starts to stir it up like she's going to start to drink it. So,
There you go. Once you get a taste of that chocolate, it's hard to wean them off it.
It is. Well, you know, and Anna's really good with the diet. It rained for the Easter egg hunt, unfortunately, but it was the temperature was warm. And hey, Kenny, before we get started, I want to give a special shout out. I'm finding out our listeners are broadening and getting more diversified. The particular club we were at, one of the guys that there is a big Control Trends fan. His name is Don. So Don from Cherokee, thanks for watching. And also there's a consulting and auditing firm in Atlanta. So a special shout out to our friends at Frazier and Dieter that apparently watch Control Talk Now. So we really appreciate our viewers, and we seem to be getting a wider audience. So go figure, Kenny. I think it just goes to show, man, you go punch people out and want to put your body on the line for the controls industry, and other people notice. Which, by the way, how's the shoulder feeling?
Well, it's actually the arm, the bicep tendon. I got to reattach the muscle to the bone on the upper bicep, and then
let's head up a little bit so everybody can see it.
And the
oh man, wow.
The ulna, it goes in between the two bones, and I guess they loop them around each. But I don't know how the heck I did such a damn, you know, how I damaged it so bad with just a little swing with a six iron, you know.
Well, I tell you what, for our listeners who might not know, Kenny's a big Pittsburgh Steeler fan, and if you saw the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game, you realize that the Cincinnati Bengals were taking some very cheap shots at Kenny's beloved Steelers. So rumor has it, Kenny, you went to Cincinnati, settled a couple of stores with a couple of scores with some of those linebackers. So look, I know you're going to deny it.
Hey, I'll tell you I'm a small fry to those guys. It's a league above me, but I'll tell you what, you brought it up. Antonio Brown is on Dancing with the Stars, and he's looking really good. So
are you coaching him as well, buddy?
Second Steeler winner.
There you go. You coach him well, because Kenny is also a big disco dancer. He, if you ever heard of, for our older viewers and listeners, that in the 70s in New York City, there was a place called Studio 54, which was like the original discotheque, and that's where all the beautiful people like Andy Warhol and Mick Jagger and Bianca Jagger and all went to dance. And Kenny Smyers was out there. He was known for his green bell bottoms and his platform shoes. So.
Oh, I can't share many stories with you anymore.
Yeah, you can't. Well, I tell you what, we'll probably have like a separate channel you can subscribe to, which we'll tell Kenny's adventures in the 70s. But I tell you what, Big Dog, we both got to get back to Easter festivities. So what do you say we get busy and let's rock and roll through this week? What do you say, buddy? What do we have up first?
Well, it's a short and sweet week, but I tell you, every day we see new products, new solutions, and new opportunities coming out. just it's relentless. It's the industry. IoT really is coming on as strong. Our first post is from KMC. It's the new Conquest BACnet router offers time and labor savings. This was a post that came to us, Kerr, the marketing manager of KMC, and he says, this thing is a beast. That's a familiar name and sound. Every controls tech in the world should have one in the laptop bag, a backup in the van, and one backup at home. Basically, what the 5051E is a router that features one MSTP and one Ethernet port, an HTML5 web configuration interface requiring no additional software, so a single cable for both power and communications, and it gives you an excellent set of diagnostic tools for quick and easy network verification and troubleshooting. And again, it was designed as a optimized tool for a technician. So temporary installation is a technician's tool for permanent installation, increasing network efficiency. So it gives you both. Additionally, the router acts as an enhancement to supervisory controller or integration engines by offloading MSTP routing, freeing up greater internal resources for core functions. So very well done. We have another post coming up for KMC. There's a great video there, by the way. And I think that's what is really the benefit of having these posts and having this is if you do like what you hear, you can take a look at the back dash 5051E and then watch the video on how to configure it. And you'll see just really how simple it is.
Well, you know what I have to say, Kenny, on your mark, get set, go. The race to the small space is underway. And I tell you what, it seems like KMC is right in there. And I think this product, Kenny, is priced in such a way, talking to the folks at KMC, they've got it priced in such a way that a lot of they're really targeting the small buildings and super small buildings. So they have several product offerings that they're pricing in such a way that the service contractors could actually give this product away with like a 3-year service agreement or 4-year service agreement. So KMC's after that. Other participants in the race are the Honeywell Redlink, of course, our friend Mike Marston with EZIO. There are a bunch of them. Viconics. So who? Neptronic for sure. Yeah. So the race is on. We'll keep you guys updated. Kenny, as your Las Vegas bookmaker, does he have any odds on this yet? I mean, do we have a number of people who can call and make a bet on this yet or not?
You'll have to go direct to Las Vegas. I'm afraid that's one of the vices I haven't really entertained yet. But
there's still time, buddy. There's still time. We'll be going to Las Vegas next year for the 2016 Control Trends Awards. We already got that
booked.
We sure
will. Yeah. That's going to be very exciting. And speaking of shows, that's a good segue into our next post, which is CABA's Intelligent Buildings and Digital Home Forum, April 26th through the 28th, 2016, in San Diego, California. It's really ironic in the small world because we're going to be out there for the Control Trends North America meeting. That's going to be the 19th through the 24th, actually the 23rd, and there's just a meeting on the 19th, but looking forward to the Control Trends meeting. But this is a very interesting gathering of folks because it's the Intelligent Buildings and Digital Home Forum that's also coupled with the lighting. Congratulations to Ron Zimmer and his folks because they really put together a very, very important and cohesive meeting of two technologies. So CABA is doing its thing where they're going to bring in the 50 confirmed thought leaders and speakers from organizations such as Cisco Systems, Schneider Electric, SE, IBM, Philips, Intel, Sprint, and others. But it brings together the leading organizations involved in the integration of the intelligent building system and connected home technology. So chance to socialize and network with the CABA board meetings and all the other industry leaders that are going to be there. And they figure, guesstimate, 175 industry stakeholders will be there to gather and discuss IoT, cybersecurity, and current trends. But also, they have this thing called the CABA Pitch Fest, which is a modified Shark Tank. So it gives entrepreneurs and people out there with some exciting new products and solutions, especially, a chance to pitch in front of a group of very, very accomplished entrepreneurial VCs. And just never heard that before. And also the Light Fair International 2016 is going to be there right next door. That's the largest annual architectural and commercial trade lighting show. So that's going to be Light Fair International. It's a CABA member, and the event is also endorsed by CABA. So it's great stuff, and we do have a URL hot link for the registration.
Good stuff from Ron Zimmer and the boys at CABA, Kenny. They do a nice job. They do a lot of research. If you like information and research, they do tons and tons of research that's available for purchase. They give away a lot of it, too. So encourage you to check those guys out. And with that, What do you say, Kenny? We move on to the next post, big dog.
Alrighty. Well, again, like we said, the people that are in the business keep finding new ways to deploy the new technology. And as the the form fits get smaller and you get more bang for the size buck, we see that Contemporary Controls adds new features to the BACnet discovery tool. Again, this is a March release, so these are all products that are now available, and they're very excited about the latest iteration of the BACnet discovery tool, commonly referred to as the BDT, Bravo Delta Tango, BACnet discovery tool. And for those unfamiliar with the BDT, it's a free BACnet IP application for Windows that's easy to use and install. The tool is instrumental as a means of discovering and verifying communications with MSTP devices being accessed through the BACnet IP routers, such as the BACnet IP router and the BAS router and the BAS router LX. To prove routers operate with different equipment configurations, Contemporary Controls has used the BDT, with equipment from various BACnet vendors. So it's a great tool for people that are trying to find out work out the bugs and the issues on the BACnet network. So thank you very much, Contemporary Controls. And we also want to thank the Building Network Communications for Buildings download, which is a 145-page document all about networks, all about troubleshooting, all about the history of the protocols. And thank you once again to George Thomas.
Yeah, George Thomas, Kirk Cross, and the whole team at Contemporary Controls. I mean, Kenny, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that knows more about BACnet, I think, than George. And 2015 Hall of Fame inductee, George Thomas. These guys, they rock and roll. They do a great job. They're givers. We talk about the network community. I mean, George and those guys, remember on their, was it 40th anniversary at the Control Trends Awards, they were giving away free networking books. I have one that's signed. It's great. I think Kenny's going to reach down and grab his real quick to show us.
I love this thing here, Eric. And I tell you what, I give the download to everybody that's interested. Again, this is a free book on the issues that you're going to come up with. Because as you deploy different BACnet devices, there are issues, and there are reasons why things aren't working well, or you have periodic communication, and some certain devices are falling offline, and you don't know why. Well, this really and truly gives you the troubleshooting information you need to find out. And I've given it to several people, and they've always said thank you, and I always say thank George Thomas. Write him an email, and like you said, this particular
better still send him a purchase order.
Well, they buy them,
of course, because they make great products as well, for sure.
Yeah. So people appreciate it, and again, just good stuff, because like I say, they keep developing more and more. It's not a static environment, and that's just something we have to get used to. Every time you turn around, somebody's got something new and improved, and sometimes it's a bad thing, because people have a tendency to stay, object at rest has a tendency to stay at rest, right, until they get bumped into by some new technology that they just got to pick up and take to the court and use.
Well, let me tell you something, Kenny. I think you bring up a good point. I'm going to digress for a second because, Kent Sinclair's touched on this. We've touched on it numerous times. I had a couple of, top-level executives from one of the major, major controls company come in, and they were asking what they could do to help, right? And which is a great question. How can we make the product better? And it was kind of like, well, your product is really good. And like all people with the technology, like you just said, Kenny, things change so quickly that, I remember when I first got in industry and you did too. I mean, a product could come out and, you'd learn it. You'd have a 15, maybe 20 year life cycle on it before the next upgrade came out. Right now you're lucky if a product lasts 6 months before something better's out. So as Ken Sinclair pointed out, and I think Jim Young's talked about it, the challenge a lot of people are having now is they got so many choices and it's changing so quickly that a lot of time they get paralysis by analysis. They just can't handle it. So my advice, I think more than ever, the battle is going to be fought with marketing. And as I told these gentlemen, I said, look, you really want to help. The winner is going to be the person that can make the message clear, concise, understandable, hit on the hot points. And, an example I gave was Comfy. We talked about Comfy last week a little bit. We've talked about them a lot. The device that basically allows you with a smartphone, everybody can have this app in a building and they can say, I'm too hot, I'm too cold, or I'm comfy. And they based on that, the system gets reset or doesn't get reset. And what companies' research has shown is that when people are given the opportunity to vote, they're more energy efficient than they are if they're not. So So they really got the messaging right. Nest is another company that got the messaging right. I mean, the biggest product launch ever for a thermostat, they got the messaging right. So how do you get the messaging right? And that's the key. And with all the stuff going on in terms of, you know, the information that's flowing at us every day, then how do you get people's attention with it too? That's the second big thing. So now more than ever, I think marketing is absolutely critical. And I don't mean marketing in a traditional way, although that's still really, really good. But you've got to do something that captures the attention, captures the mind, and then has people motivated to take action. And that's just a huge, huge piece. And I'd be lying to you if I said I had that figured out, because I don't. But I think the people that do figure that out are going to be the ones that are going to lead their companies and their products to success in this age in which we are.
Sure. And I think, you know, just again, to piggyback off that, it's the social media, the engaging aspect of it. In other words, you have to make things attractive. I mean, we talked about, data visualization and how colors and how, using our eyes is so much preferable than using, reading because of whatever. But some of the problems that people have great products, and as you say, the marketing isn't on track. They miss the marketing. They don't, just like we talk about the pendulum, me generation or we generation. I mean, we've actually seen some major faux pas where people put a me generation style advertisement out in a we generation. We said, hey, look, be careful, because that's not going to resonate with your target audience. And then we have been getting one comment after another on the different things, comment sections or emails, saying how much they love the social media engagement. So people that are out there still struggling with it. I think marketing has got to really truly continue to engage in the social media, the video, the people associated with products. That's just an enriched environment versus the dry clinical. Hey, here's our great feature benefit. ... just that stuff just doesn't seem to work as well as it used to, right?
Well, it doesn't. But even social media now is, you have to be really good at that too. I mean, so sure. If you over-engage or engage in an improper way, you just become a nuisance. So you sort of have to be, it's not enough that you're on social media. You have to be liked on social media. So it's a whole new art form of sort of creating a relationship. And as you and I know, Kenny, I mean, you run your own business. I own my own business. My biggest cost is sending sales engineers and salespeople out to make cold calls. It's hard to get access. It's, industry averages show it's anywhere from $700 to $1,000 a call. So, our emphasis is, you got to have those people to go out, especially when they have a hot prospect or somebody that has a need. But our game now is, how do you become found? How do you become found? And social media certainly is a component of that. And then, but you got to be likable on social media. I mean, just slamming people with, 9,000 tweets or sending an email every day. I mean, you could just as easily alienate yourself as you could endear yourself to a customer. So that's changed. It's not even like, you can say, all right, I'm dialed in on social media now. This is the way we're going to do it. You have to constantly reexamine and what you're doing. I mean, we were talking to Ken Sinclair a couple of weeks ago. Man, he's trying everything. I love Ken Sinclair, automatedbuildings.com. And, and Ken's gone from everything from Instagram. He says now Twitter's it, man. Twitter's instantaneous. That's where it is right now for him, is on Twitter. But it's a fascinating thing. And like I say, just sending people stuff in the mail, I don't know. I mean, now what I will say about marketing and in general in sales, one of my rules is you've got to get noticed. And to get noticed, you need to do things differently. So I suspect that if somebody came up with a really clever way to send mail when everybody else is doing social media, you'd probably get a bump there. But you have to be different than the herd to stand out. And standing out now is more important now than it ever has been, because again, the products are all damn good, right? I mean, how much can you differentiate a product? I mean, because as soon as somebody does it, other people are going to copy it, and if it takes hold. So the products are all got to be good to be even in the conversation. Your tech support has to be good to be in the conversation. So what's the differentiator? And I say the differentiator now is the messaging and how you get the messaging.
Well, I think, going to the things, I think, again, it's trendish type things. I think collaboration is critical. I think you join association affiliations. I think you get into the mix with things. You don't try to do it all yourself and try to be, I am the leader. I am the only one. I am the best one. I think, again, I think it's very important to come up with a, and I agree with you, with the messaging and telling the story has to be unique, and some people do it better than others. But I think right now we're seeing where people are coming into you know, they're trusting filtering procedures or trusting sites that go into great detail and spend energy collecting information and refining that information to make it germane to the particular topics that you're after. And I think a lot of it's affiliations too. I think if they see you like green, you know, if you're affiliated with green now, it's an assumption that you should be green. I think people in the integration world, the HVAC world, are assuming that you're working with people that are not closed doors down, not leading you to dead end. So I think it also is a very important part of the social media and messaging is being affiliated with the current trending important players.
Well, yeah, and that too. But then even more important than that, Kenny, I think, is if you can be the one that's setting the trend, that really sets you apart. You know, and that's where, you know, you got to, you know, acknowledge people like, you know, EZIO, for example. You know, they created just a controller that was focused in a niche. So maybe niching is part of it too, but then they were also collaborating with other folks. So it's a fascinating thing. You know, we'd love to get some of the marketing folks from some of these major companies or just any of the companies. We'd love to get some marketing people on to talk about the market. I think Therese Sullivan, buildingcontext.me is somebody's got her finger on the pulse of that too, but I don't think anybody's got it dialed in and figured out yet. But the big question, Kenny, that everybody wants to know, and they think you're the only guy that can answer this question. Are you ready? All right. So the question regarding marketing that listeners want to know, and they want your opinion, is does sex still sell?
Eric Stromquist, you put me on well, I'll tell you what, I was just watching the Trump summary and how he had made so many faux pas with the things he said, you know, because he ran the Miss America or Miss Universe, whatever it was, and boy, did that come back to haunt him. So the answer is one that I learned from the Air Force, and I appreciate learning this very, very, very much because I've used it so many times, and that is I can neither confirm nor deny the presence of nuclear weapons.
Nice. Well, I would say, well, at least get you a look.
Well, I tell you, the thing is that I have daughters, and daughters are very honest to their fathers, and they do not like this innuendos, and they do not like the bustoided marketing stuff. They really part of the intellectual process and be merited, you know, merit-based things. You know, they don't like the old style stuff. You know, so you and I post-date ourselves, and we date ourselves for sure, but I think...
Well, what are you thinking about, Kenny? What I was talking about was how sexy, like, the Honeywell Vision Pro thermostat
is with
the
different
colors.
And
the Nest thermostat. That's what I was talking about. The EZIO, man, have you seen the connectors on that EZIO Beast from the East? Man, that is some sexy stuff, man. Well, needless to say to our audience, Kenny and I will never be running for political office, especially me. Kenny might. But, hey, Kenny... Speaking of sexy, and this is, I went off on a tangent last week, you know, with a particular term. I just didn't like the way it sounded. So I apologize if I offended anybody with that, with the e-zine thing. But I'm going to redeem myself this week because I think this is one of the coolest sounding words ever. And it gets right to our next post, which is the Haystack Data Pump. Now, data pump is a term I can get behind. So tell us a little bit about our next post, Kenny.
All right. Well, just in from our friends from LinkSpring. LinkSpring is pleased to announce the availability of their new Onyx TM, BackNet TM, Haystack data pump. And I'm sorry, it's Onyx BackNet to Haystack. It's a pretty impressive post because, the data pump helps to overcome the data organization challenges and easily enables the use of common naming conventions and tagging for building operational and energy data with one of the industry's preferred protocols. So like you had mentioned earlier, data will overwhelm you. If you actually try to go out there and try to read everything and you all find yourself scrambling for just the takeaway that is going to help you, beneficial. So what happens is when you have large amounts of data, the challenge lies in how to manage it and how to get the useful information out of it, especially as these sets of data often come with various formats, naming conventions, and syntaxes. So having a data pump, having the ability to or translate or bring into manageable status tremendous amounts of data. We're talking about building operational data and energy data. That's really good stuff. So basically, streamlining the interchange of data from BackNet devices and building systems, the Onyx BackNet to Haystack data pump provides network communication and data exchange. It handles the protocol translation of BackNet points to manageable Haystack points. acting as the BACnet client device to the Onyx. I'm sorry, acting as a BACnet client device, the Onyx data pod manages all BACnet, BACnet IP, Ethernet, or BACnet MSTP devices connected to it. So it's a great post. And again, there's more information than our reporting can do on here, because there's probably about 12 of the very important feature benefits about what it does. It protects data, pushes data, protects integrity. It gives you a simple connection. So it's nothing overwhelmingly difficult. Direct connect, local storage data for 30 days, 3 gigabyte space. So please visit the post and give it a try, because new stuff coming.
Because we like Mark Peacock and we like Linkspring. We like Terry Swope. We like all those guys. They make cool products. And again, this to me, Kenny, gets back to the point we were talking about just a few minutes ago. This is kind of a cool product. It captures your attention, right? Just like the Linkspring Cyber Pro does. They identify a problem. They come up with a simple solution that makes sense. They give it a cool name. We call it a data pump. I loved it. Maybe that's what they should call the Haystack Info Pump instead of the eZine, maybe. I don't know.
John Pesci made a comment about how he's looking for ideas. And that is what's cool. See, to me, that is where the future lies, is where you get collaboration. You get something started, using that Silicon Valley trial method. You fail often, you fail quick, and you fail forward, and then you just keep on going until you get to the place where you want to be. And so even with naming conventions, I think it's a great thing to do.
But, too, Kenny, your thing about, part of the game is being part of, the collaboration, if you will. I met with another vendor this week who, great product offering out of Europe. They do some really great stuff. And, show me how they do their tagging and all, how cool it is. And I'm going, what about Haystack? We don't need Haystack because we do it ourselves. And they might have a very cool way to do it. But again, I think they're missing part of the boat, not including Haystack, the Haystack tagging in there, because there are a lot of people. Haystack's busy creating the message, like we said earlier. I mean, they're creating the message. I mean, you go poll, building owners and people like that. Most of them are probably going to have heard of Haystack, or at least more of them are going to heard of Haystack than have heard of this other company's tagging, because tagging and big data are important. And this other company has a really great way to do it, but it's not in collaboration with the rest of the market. And that's another key piece. Right. You might have a better mousetrap, but if there are no mice there, then there's no point in, doing it. I mean, if you're trying to trap bears, you better get on with the bear hunt. Pretty bad analogy there, Kenny.
I agree with you. In other words, that's what we're trying our darndest to say, is that you go at it alone, and even though you have a magnificent product and you feel very confident that if people gave it a look, gave it a try, they'd agree with you, you're not getting into the mainstream because you didn't take the elevator that takes you to the mainstream. You took an elevator that takes you to your own personal suite. So anybody who visits your suite gets the message, but the rest of the people, unless you got those salesmen you talked about going out there, hitting them hard and spending a lot of time and energy out in the field or however you're using your social media, emails, or whatever you're doing, the trick is not to try to take a soul journey anymore. You want to get on board. To me, that company should go to the Niagara Summit, buy the vendor space, set up there amongst all the recognized collaborators in the industry, and then say, hey, they could certainly get feedback if people agree with what they're doing and like what they're doing, because you're going to be talking to 1,100 of the top integrators in the world.
Right.
So then you get that feedback. You say, okay, they're going to say, well, why didn't you do it in Haystack? And you say, because ours is better or whatever it is, but you get that immediate feedback. So to me, the idea is to integrate with what's going on. It's like trying to...
Kenny, you're so right. And look, the product is beautiful. Our control trends community would love it. And, even offer that. We don't need to do that. We don't need to go to automated buildings. We don't need to do any of that stuff because we got this great product. And, I looked at the guy and said, look, you know what? You got the best kept secret in the industry. And guess what? It's going to stay that way.
No, that's part of the... that's why it makes it so interesting. And like you say, as business owners, to me, the exercise we do and share with the control trends community is also of great personal benefit to us, to me, because it just makes you only have so many hours in a day and so many dollars in the pocket to go ahead and try stuff. And it just seems like, again, it's a daily exercise. I wish I worked out as much as I worked out doing this stuff, because you stay in shape. You understand and you can see things right. become very visible to these guys. Are so wrapped up in their own messages, and they're so confident, they're so technically competent that you can't argue with them, but they still miss it, you know. So
yeah, well, absolutely, Kenny. And one company that totally, I think, really is getting the marketing and putting together a great marketing plan and great messaging, our friends from Johnson Controls, Chris Eichmann, Chris Lane, and the rest of the crew. So that brings us to our next post, right, buddy?
Sure does. Well done. Yeah, the thing I like about Johnson now is they're providing a lot of great, just an overview of the industry. You know, last week we had the changing demographics, and it was a very, very important seminal document. I wish got read fairly, had a lot of attention, but not as much as I thought it was going to, because to me, every single person in the industry should be aware of the contents of that document. It's great research, great, very well researched. You know, and anybody that's ever done a term paper, one of the higher level academic document, it takes a lot of time and effort to research, make sure your facts and figures are right, and that you're current, you know. So that provides the most current overview I've seen of our industry, and we're in bad shape as far as getting new blood into our hair, getting them up to speed quickly enough to make an impact and sustain our industry. But then Johnson comes up with another, very important decision. They partnered with Cisco, and this partnership allows both Johnson and Cisco to be smarter, more efficient, more connected. So they joined the Cisco Digital Ceiling Community, which is kind of interesting. Digital Ceiling Community. And that's a framework that provides a platform that delivers better user experiences through the convergence of the IT network and the building technologies. So IT being Cisco and building technologies being Johnson, that now include the complete portfolio of lighting, heating, cooling, security, motion detection, and other sensors and actuators. So this is the big enchilada. So as we see more of this new technology in IoT being unraveled and coming into our work, our sweet spots, this is how it's coming. So you got big player converging IT networks with the building automation and building technologies. So now we're saying that Johnson Controls believes that shares the Cisco belief that the digital ceiling framework offers building owners and operators one way to apply the benefits of the Internet of Things throughout the facilities and create transformative new experiences for building users that will significantly improve productivity, safety, and comfort of building owners. So to me, it's critical terminology there, is they're not going back and saying, I'm going to save you a bunch of energy, because that's expected, that's assumed, but will significantly improve the productivity of a worker or somebody inside a user space, you know. Safety. So now you've got the all those things being integrated as far as your life, fire alarm, security, smoke detection, everything, and then comfort. So comfort means that if you don't have people, if you don't have occupants in the building, then all the other stuff you're trying to do is move, because you're not making any money on your investment. So you need occupants. You need to make them happy. You need to make them safe. You need to make them comfortable, and that all leads into greater productivity.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny, you remember 2 years ago when we were at the RealCom IBACON and we were all freaking out, me, you, Therese Sullivan, and Ken Sinclair, because like Intel, Cisco, Microsoft, Dell, they all showed up there and they were all, we were all worried that they were going to just try to bypass the industry completely. It sounded like that Intel guy at that one meeting just really freaked everybody out. But it seems like they've sort of all recalibrated and they're looking for partners within the space. I mean, I know that Dell is partnering with KMC, for instance, and seems like, obviously the Cisco Johnson thing. So I think the good news is doesn't look like we're going to get bypassed like we were maybe afraid was going to happen a couple of years ago. Looks like these technologies are going to incorporate with existing vendors. And dude, I love the phrase digital ceiling. That is a really cool phrase. I just like the way things sound. But I have another question for you. Have you ever heard the term digital nomad?
Digital nomad?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Well, my daughter, Brett, my oldest daughter, is, I think, Stephanie's age, I believe. But she's got so many friends, Kenny. And I like this because maybe you and I can pretend to be digital nomads if we want to. But she's got all these friends that, have had these really great jobs. And, they're basically checking out. They're going and they're like living in Thailand or they're living all around the world. And they're freelancing, like remotely. And remember we had that conversation with Anonymous Jay, who was, one of the young guns and, trying to get a handle on what young people really want now. And they really, I think, value experience more than they value money. Not that money's not important, but the experience factor. I remember one of the deals she said, the company she was at, she was afraid they were going to lose one of their key people because he wanted to travel. And she's going, well, this guy could be on a beach someplace and still be doing the same kind of work. That's a reality. I tell you what, listen, my daughter talked about it. She showed me on Instagram some of these folks, and these are fabulously well-educated, you know, people that have, you know, worked for top accounting firms or consulting firms that are now, you know, living in different parts of the world, and they're online, and, you know, through the power of the internet, they're able to be effective. They're doing freelance work, and it's a lifestyle change. So I thought that was fascinating. I love the term digital nomad. I want to be one day. Maybe when I grow up, I'll be a digital nomad. But I think, again, you know, as we look at the young guns and attracting people in our industry, it would seem to me that that would be really a really compelling piece to some of the younger people that might want to come into our industry, is let me work abroad and have the freedom and flexibility to be in different parts of the world.
Well, if you think about that, Eric, the academic world always did that. You took your sabbaticals, you know?
Yeah.
In other words, and I remember when I was in the, you know, when I was in the Air Force, I was in there 9 years. They didn't want you to stay in one place too long because you stagnate. You have a tendency to get too sweet in your same spot, you know? So they like to stir the soup up and have you have fresh experiences and learn different aspects of the same organization, just from different, you know, different from command spaces and different locations and different missions. But I had a lot of academic friends that they look forward to their sabbaticals. You know, they'd work 4 or 5 years, you know, and then put in for a 1 year stint to Russia or Germany or India.
Yeah.
Or something. And they'd come back and they were just refreshed and they were just really, well, truly
new perspective. I mean, I think travel is probably the greatest educator, right? And you.
So I wanted to complete with the thought there was that I see professional organizations, these big Fortune 500s, Fortune 100s, Fortune 50s. It's already factored into their careers. They're going to have to work as nomads because they're going to put them out there in the road, expect them to carry their workload and go get these new experiences and new networks and learn from competitors or learn from different you know, perspectives. But yeah, I see it happening. I think you're right. It's going to be the norm.
Well, yeah, and you know, all the big companies do that already. I mean, look at Honeywell and Johnson. I mean, their executives that make it to the top, they all do stints in different parts of the world. And that's part of it, but you have to be at a certain level before you get there. And I think to attract talent in, you have to do it you know, you have to make that available so that they're sort of writing their own ticket for that. I think you and I both read the book, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. And I think he really nails a lot of those principles. I mean, I think he really understands what this new generation is looking for. And, you know, Tim starts the book off by saying that, you know, philosophically, this new generation has a completely different philosophy, whereas our generation, you worked hard, you saved your money, you retired, and then you did what you wanted to do, right? And what Tim is saying, this new generation is going, that's bogus, man. Why wait, right? And then the other thing with that is, I mean, you never know. Your health might not be there, or if the stock market's crashed and all your money's in the stock market, you could lose that out. So the new norm is, you know, live the lifestyle now. And there's this, I followed this blog and this podcast. There were a couple of young guys, Kenny. I mean, they were just sort of ne'er-do-wells. I mean, I they weren't like academic geniuses or anything like that. They might have been junior college, but they read the Tim Ferriss book, and they decided, we'll just do an experiment. We'll put it in practice. I think it's Tropical. I'll see if I can find the blog name. But essentially what these guys did, they just did what Tim said in the book. They traveled. They bought a one-way ticket to Asia, right? And they went to Asia, Kenny. And then from there, they met some manufacturers that could manufacture like furniture and stuff like that. They contacted some of their buddies back in the U.S. who set up a distribution center. They became one of the largest exporters from Thailand of furniture and importers in the U.S. They created this whole company, right? And they just, you know, making a lot of money, but they're basically living the dream. I mean, you know, they work, you know, they got people working for them, but these guys go make the connections. And that's what you said earlier, which is such a key piece. The one thing, the world is getting smaller and smaller, and business is getting more and more connected internationally. And because of that, travel and being out there, allows you to make those connections and makes you much, much more valuable and enriched. So I think that's just a heck of a trend. And I want you from now on, I want you to start calling me DMAD, like for digital nomad.
Listen,
like,
you know, we talked about this. DMAD. My brother Dave just came back from a meeting there with all the big shots down there, distributors, Scott Cross, John Donahue, Pat Marcella, Scotty Cochran. Gosh, I know I'm going to forget a couple.
Whole group of them, yeah. The East Coast Control Summit.
Pat Marcella's daughter has a boyfriend who wrote this book called 30 Tickets to Paradise, doing exactly what you said.
I saw that. Yeah, I got a copy. It's awesome. Go that way. Yeah, there you go. Now you got okay. it. Yep.
Anyhow, it's written by, it's a true story written by Cody Kaufman. And everything you just said about the Tim Ferriss type of thing, he lived out in L.A. He calls it Hell-A. Because it's just, you know, he was just realizing his life was, you know, kind of wiltering away inside of a car. And, you know, he just was not, you know, happy. But see, it's not for everybody. I think the most important thing is you go through stages in life, you go through phases. The earlier you go through what we just talked about, you go from a caterpillar to a monarch butterfly, you know, the earlier you can do that, get out and see as much as you can early, then the less likely you're going to have any regrets, later on or whatever, or have yourself so regimented mentally that you can't accept new ideas. You don't want to change because this is the way you are. But the point being is that when you feel as though you've got to go and change things, I think like Tim Ferriss is where I work with, read that. And then you'll see guys like this actually doing it. They actually go and he sees all of the baseball parks in one season from California to New York into Canada. So, and he writes a little, basically a diary style thing where he rates, there's 10 criteria. Best design of the stadium, best view, best hot dog, best mascot, best fans, best looking females, best entertainment, best tradition, best feature, and the final rank. So it was very entertaining. I'm almost done with it. It's only like 224 pages, but a lot of it there's maybe like 10 pages of like credits and whatever. But it's just interesting, but exactly what you're saying. So, we need to get this kind of talent into the HVAC world, the building automation world. We need to give them the flexible terms they need so that when they feel compelled that they got to go out there and spread their wings for the 2, 3, 4, 5 year period, that they have that opportunity so they're not contained inside of a cubicle and die a cubicle, death of wanting to have done the flight.
Right. Right. Absolutely, Kenny. And I think the thing is now location is much less relevant than it was when you and I first got in the business, because with the age of Skype and what we've covered, how you could use Google Glasses for troubleshooting and all, your location is, in most cases, is not nearly as critical. So good stuff there. We'll keep tracking that trend. If you got some thoughts or comments on that, please reach out in comments. Let us know what you think. Because speaking of digital nomads, we got our friend. Let's take a minute and say hi to reach out to Samir Prada, our man in India, the director of Control Trends India. Kenny, he's been rocking and rolling over there. Some great posts. If you want to get a flavor for some of the companies coming out of England and Europe, for example, there's a great video that he did last week on a big VFD energy savings project in India, done with a VFD company out of India England that I'd never heard of. So if you want to broaden your horizons, check that site out, controltrends.in.
Well, Eric, and just to kind of parlay on that, Samir had recently redone the About section in the Control Trends India, and it's really an interesting thing because we talk about trends, we talk about things. I don't think there's any greater ambitious effort underway than the 100 Smart Cities project in India. And now Samir has kind of tweaked his interests to provide he talks about Control Trends India as the first game-changing, dedicated online building controls community in India to help the nation achieve its ambitious 100 smart cities. So the charter mission is to be the premier source of industry knowledge, industry standards, product information, training opportunities, professional networking, business opportunities, upcoming industry events, and be the current fulcrum for the other resources vital to the HVAC and building automation professional at every level and every stage in their career. But what's really cool about it is he takes the next step as far as explaining. India is an emerging economy, a large democracy with a well-capitalized central bank, a sound judiciary, a new government that's rolled out a significant number of attractive measures to make India a top investment destination. So here we are with the HVAC world, but they really, he goes into detail here saying that North America now has been embraced by India. See, this is the revelation here. This is the game-changing event. Used to be all kind of dominated by the European influence over India and the British British standard threads, you know, the German engineering, all kind of came from Europe. And now what's happening is India is looking around and they have an opportunity to choose new partners, the new manufacturers that they associate with, new control manufacturers, new actuator manufacturers, sensor manufacturers. So what he's saying is that he's really able, and he's in a position to help people get in touch with people. He's in a position to help people actually not just make it an investment decision or an investment destination, but he can actually help people get brick and mortar on Indian soil so they begin manufacturing and servicing this tremendously emerging market that's out there. Probably the largest single target, if you put a bullseye up on around the globe of what's the most attractive markets for people that sell things in the HVAC or building automation, solutions, products, whatever, there's probably no greater, larger target than India right now. And he can help facilitate that.
I completely agree, Kenny. Back in your great, 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 great grandfather Smyer's days, the conventional wisdom was go west, young man. Now the conventional wisdom is go east. Go east, right? Cool. You got to go east. So.
All right, Eric.
Again, well, speaking another, of that, buddy.
Interesting change. And I think this is just exactly what we're saying. We're seeing people that were doing things very well and very successful collaborate with another major player and get synergies going across different market segments and get more business than they had before. So this is a Dent Instrument Analysis collaboration with Emerson. This was a press release that came out last week, and we know Dent Instruments. We know that Dent makes a heck of a meter, but they now have really made beyond a handshake. They made a deal with Emerson to launch the industry's first wireless power meter networking. So just to read the little post here, Dent Instruments, a global leader in the design and manufacture of power and energy measurement instruments, along with Emerson, a recognized leader in bringing technology and engineering together, have announced a strategic collaboration making wireless power measurement a reality. And this is kind of big because, we'll see some utilities and we'll see different players now being affected by this large opportunity, this large presentation. You know, we sell Dent at the wholesale or distributor level, and Dent sells through various OEMs that we see it come out, ACI, Siemens, to name a few. And it's just a really well-priced, well-positioned meter to do a great job. It has more capabilities and more features than you'll ever use. But basically, this thing features easy to install design and mounting, with a plug and play deployment using the wireless heart mesh network. So we're seeing the mesh networking, they've improved it every year since I've ever kept track of it, but it'll measure over 20 energy variables. So it'll meet all the user needs. It's optimized for connectivity for 99.99% data reliability using that wireless heart self-organizing. So some of the pains and agonies we went through with wireless where it was kind of iffy, chancy, spot on, spot off. Just about all those, the communication, the viability of the network has been improved so much that it's a no-brainer. And then it's secure. So these guys have figured out how they can encode that or data encrypt it, basically. So now it becomes a key management tool with end-to-end security features. So well done, Dent.
Well, Kenny, I tell you what, I think that might be that hits on all fronts, right? You could call that mashed up, right? Yeah. We mashed two different technologies together. You could call it collaboration. And I can tell you from our experience on the industrial side, Emerson owns a company called Rosemont, and Rosemont really pioneered that whole heart protocol. So this has been tested in industrial environments. It's a standard on the industrial side, some of the harshest environments you can get. So I think this is a winning combination. We'll be seeing Richard from Dent out at the CGNA meeting. You and I both handle Dent Instruments as
well. He's a passionate guy too, huh? He loves his job.
He is. He does. Really, he's a smart guy. He does. Richard, come to the Control Trends Awards next year, man. He's cool. He's got long hair, man. He's awesome, man. Which, speaking of that, Kenny, just to let our viewers know, next week we will not be doing the show. I'm going in to have a very important procedure done. I'm thinking about having a hair transplant. So, I think it's probably not going to look good next week. So we'll be off next week, but we'll be back on the next week. If it works, you'll see me with a full head of hair again. So
I can't wait.
Anyway, let's move on to the next post, brother.
what color is this out of curiosity?
I'm thinking blonde, redhead, man. I don't know. What do you think? Any requests? I mean, reach out in comments. What color hair should I have installed on top of my head? All right. What do we have up next?
All right, this is our last post, Eric. We've got a e-learning Honeywell pressure independent control valve. training. So this is a 1 hour webinar that you sign up for. It's free. We've got a link on the site. And basically, you know, Honeywell has a broad control valve portfolio, always has, and now they're going into depth. They're going toe-to-toe with the big guys on the pressure-independent control valve, because we know that there are, you know, good applications that you get a half-inch to six-inch range. You get, you know, the basic technical information. And the key advantages that Honeywell offers using their WRN and WRW valves, the energy savings, the money savings, is extraordinary. It's a compelling presentation.
Let's do this. For our listeners out there who might not know the significance of a pressure-independent control valve, let's walk them through that real quick, okay? So I'll take a stab at it. You tell me if I'm off, okay? But essentially, what pressure independent is, kind of like your VAV box. You can have pressure dependent or pressure independent. The advantage to pressure independent is you get much better control. And because you get much better control, you save money. So when they design a building, when an engineer designs a building, the way it's typically been done, they'll size all the loads up, take all the piping loss that's got to go through. They'll size the chiller and the pipes and everything based on that. And it's everything sized on what they call a pressure drop, which means it's pressure dependent, right? So, and because of that, they have to size it for design degree days. So for your cooling system, they design it based on the hottest day of the year in your area, what they think it's going to be. For your heating water systems, it's the coldest day. And what typically happens with that, and then your test and balance guys come in and they set it all up, and then on your design degree day, it typically controls really, really well. But once you get past that, then the coils on the bottom of the floor could get over flooded, and you might not get enough up to the top floor. So people have to constantly come out and rebalance the systems. Well, if you use a pressure-dependent valve like Honeywell has here, and you'll learn about this in the presentation, essentially what you're doing is the valve itself is sensing the pressure at the coil level, okay? So it's only using what it needs. So instead of controlling off a pressure drop, it's controlling off of a set pressure, which allows your system to be much, much more efficient, allows your chiller or your boiler to work less. So this is definitely worth investing time in, checking it out if you're not familiar with pressure independent control technology.
And you nailed that. You nailed it. Here, these are the disadvantages of a non-PSC.
It's digital nomad, man.
So time-consuming balancing, which you hit. Rebalancing required, which you hit, because the existing terminals must be thrown back. Poor valve authority. So basically, it's running under only 1% of the time is the building typically running under design conditions. Imagine that. So 99% of the hydronic system needs to be rebalanced, and it's 50% of the loads are not on target. The flow is reduced 20%. Potential is spreading control problems. So the control circuits are interactive. When one valve closes, the differential pressure on the other circuits increases, and the associated control valves must close to compensate. So it's just the loops are unstable.
Yeah, control problems. I'm going to tell you something, Kenny. This, along with several other manufacturers, have versions of this. Siemens, Belimo, both have versions come to mind. This is a test and balance killer, okay? Test and balance. Your test and balance guys do not want you to know that this exists, because if you get these things in, you pretty much eliminate the need for those people. So if you're a user out there, make sure your consulting engineer and your architect are specifying pressure-independent control valves at the very least, and then you can get up to energy valves past that. So,
They're expensive. So, you really have to get the support of the engineering community. We tried to do that recently here too, and again, the features are you got flexible commissioning, one-piece installation, it reduces pumping costs, it maintains a precise delta T, it visualizes flow, it prevents overflow and underflow. It's just a no-brainer if you look at
it. No. What is a no-brainer, but what I'm saying is the owners have to push that down, because typically the owners are going to the engineers and the contractors going, give me the lowest installed price. And there's, you know, there's a cost to build it or buy it, and there's a cost to own it. And the cost to own one of these things, this is why our users, building owners, really have to push this back to the consultant, because the consulting engineers and architects are trying to please the owner. Give me the least expensive building, most least expensive upfront cost. But this falls in the category of you put this in, you, like you say, you spend a little bit extra up front, but you're going to save so much time on operational expenses and everything else. And not only that, if you encourage your engineer, if you take it up another level, go to the Belimo Energy Valve, if it's a new construction project, Kenny, you can now all of a sudden have smaller pipe sizes, even smaller chillers, because put your mind, you know, because the other thing is they've got the case studies on this. But if you're a consulting engineer, the only career ending injury you have is if you undersize the equipment, right? But allowing, using this technology, you don't have to oversize, because the other factor that goes in is they oversize the equipment to make sure they have enough horsepower. Because again, the engineers are smart. They know that they might not have enough capacity, you know, with conventional valving technology. But if they use something like this, they can have smaller equipment, and that could save money up front too.
Yeah, and then,
that's what DMAD has to say about this.
I don't know. Is that your new name? Should I start referring?
I think so. I'm a wannabe digital nomad, man.
DMAD. Okay, because Big E still is your nickname so far. But anyhow, like you said, the more sophisticated case is MIT case with Belimo. Not only does it do everything we said so far, but it also gives you a protection if your building management system is slow to react or goes down or whatever. The internal measurement, the delta T done by the smart valve, pick valve, or pressure defended valve from Belimo will also regulate and monitor. So it's like a system.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Belimo takes another step because they're actually, you know, controlling off of delta T, which is another variable. They're incorporating the two, and then you get all the data off of that. But hey, this is a Honeywell post, Kenny. I can't believe your form here, buddy. We might have to edit this out.
I congratulate Honeywell. You know, the thing is, like we said, competition makes a true friend.
It better.
You know?
Yeah, it does for sure.
The five big players now. Griswold had probably the first run at it. Belimo, Siemens has had a pick V valve out there, and they've got a very nice special, a little bit different. And then Honeywell and.
But I think the message here is this: e-learning. If you're not familiar with them, this would be a great place to sort of get your feet wet. We have tons of posts. If you just type in pressure independent valve or energy valve on the Control Trends website, you can find tons of training videos on that. And Kenny, I tell you what, you know, the one thing I noticed about me and you, we were going to make this a short show. I'm looking at the time, buddy. I think we're pushing up against an hour, man. Who was talking more today, me or you, buddy?
Probably about time.
How is it that we just filled the space up? But I tell you what, I love talking controls. And I tell you, Kenny, you got anything else, or is it?
No, that's it. That's it.
All right, so
remember, I think we feel guilty because
remember next
week is under 40 minutes, man.
Well,
maybe Rob Allen's got us. He's got his mark there.
Well, he's chomping at the bit because he's 7 minutes in control. So, all right. Well, so to our audience, hope you guys are having, and girls are having, a wonderful, wonderful Easter. Hope you're enjoying your families wherever you are. We really appreciate our viewers and our listeners. Remember, next week I'll be off getting my hair transplant. And with that, Kenny Smyers, the man, the myth, the legend. Kenny Smyers and the wannabe digital nomad are signing off saying have a great week. And remember, stay
Indeed,
Kenny Smyers. Oops. Indeed, Kenny Smyers. All right, buddy.